Welcome to the Brain People Podcast, a show where four mental health experts team up to bring you practical tools for overcoming mental health challenges. The Brain People don't replace your doctor or therapist, but we will give you some extra tools to help you on your journey. So join us as we fight mental illness, one episode at a time.
Welcome to the Brain People Podcast. I'm Amanda Anguish, and I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist, and I'm joined here with Cherie. Cherie, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. My name is Cherie Hummel, and I'm the coordinator for the Senior Peer Counseling Program, and I've been doing this about a year and a half now.
Great. So actually, we're going to be talking about senior peer counseling, and I think this is... It was relatively new to me when I heard about it, but I think it's important that we know that this exists because there's actually an epidemic in our world right now that we're experiencing, not even just in the United States, but in other countries where they're recognizing this real sense of loneliness that people Yes. have. And I think seniors are especially experiencing this. Mm-hmm. And so maybe you can tell us a little bit about how you came into this senior peer counseling.
Sure. Well, I had a good friend mm-hmm. who had told me about this position that was coming open at Beautiful Minds, and they had known me well, known me for many years. They knew I was looking really for a job in kind of ministry and mm-hmm. and giving back, and they thought I would be good for this job. And so I have a passion for seniors, a passion for people in general, but a passion for seniors, and am gifted really in listening. It's something that I have been blessed with, and so I applied and got the job.
Well, now, as you're saying, you have this passion. Usually there's a story behind that. Is there anything significant in your life that has happened that gave you that sense of, like, you know, caring for seniors?
I would have to say there's kind of a number of things in that, not only in dealing with my own parents, mm-hmm. As well as grandparents, you know, being there for them. They have all since passed away, but each one went through different experiences. And as difficult as it was for me emotionally to go through that with them, it was a blessing and a privilege. There was growth through that. And then I had some personal experiences with one of my own children. And I know how much it means to have someone come along aside you mm-hmm. and be both emotional and practical support.
Oh, well, I'm really glad that you were there for your parents and your grandparents, and that you've had somebody who's there for you. And it sounds like there are a lot of other people that need that sort of support too, as they're going through things in their lives. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what senior peer counseling is? Like, what does it entail? And yeah.
Sure. Well, I think in a nutshell, I like to mm-hmm. say it's a program for seniors by seniors. Uh-huh. So we have a number of individuals as we get older that are going through various life transitions. Mm-hmm. And certainly following the pandemic, we have a lot of individuals who feel isolated and alone. We have those that are struggling with health issues, loss of independence, a number of those that are, providing caregiver support mm-hmm. as well as grief. Those are kind of some of the predominant issues. And we have a group of volunteer seniors who want to give of their time and know the value in being there to help, you know, those that are in need.
Well, it sounds like it gives back to them too, because they get connection as they're counseling or peer counseling with the other seniors too.
Yes, they absolutely feel the feel the reward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know a lot of people after they get to a certain age in that demographic that, you know, after retirement, sometimes they don't know what to do with themselves. And so
right.
this sounds like a really good opportunity for staying connected with people and having something productive to do.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. In many different ways. And it's amazing at how many seniors look for, you know, various mm-hmm. volunteer opportunities, and those opportunities are certainly there. In fact, I think the needs are growing in the community.
Yeah, and the longer people live too, the greater the need for that as well. So what are some of the things that somebody would expect from senior peer counseling? Like say, I'm the senior and I'm not sure, you know, like what does this entail? What am I getting? I heard you say listening, somebody to listen, but what else might they experience in a senior peer session?
So it depends on sort of what their issues are. Mm-hmm. So we obviously do an intake and assessment on where they're at and work with them to identify what their needs are. Mm-hmm. And really key to our program is working with them identifying goals. What is it that they want to, you know, what are they working towards, whether it's emotionally or whether it's practical. Mm-hmm. And so we are a goal-oriented program that also helps them to see how they achieve their goals. Mm-hmm. And we just really provide that support and encouragement for them. And so then, you know, our counselors come in and meet with them. And what's really fun is to see the ways, because it's kind of very informal, but how their counseling sessions go, because we have some that they do their sessions by walking. And or they may meet at a location and do their sessions. Sometimes it's in their home if they can't get out. Sometimes it's over the phone. Mm-hmm. We have a hybrid of doing it in person or online.
Okay. Yeah, that's changed a lot with COVID. And so yes, a lot of people are doing things online.
We strive to do as much in person because we feel that that connection is important.
Yeah, I've noticed that even in my therapy sessions, a lot of people want that connection because there's not as much of it at this point in time. So,
and I would also say that with the senior population, they're not as comfortable, or some just aren't able to even do things online. So this whole environment for them is very challenging and mm-hmm. frustrating. So it's another reason why we really strive to do the in-person.
You don't have to be a senior to have trouble with technology.
That's true.
I'm not a senior, and I have trouble sometimes with my online sessions.
Yes.
The sound goes out, the video goes out, so I can imagine that would be really frustrating for them.
Yes.
Now, you said that they meet with them. How often do they meet? Is it like a once-a-week thing or a once-a-month, or how does that work?
It's typically for 1 hour each week, okay. And on average, we start with about a 6 to 8 week time frame.
Okay.
Now, that said, we're not hard and fast on our 6 to 8. Sometimes folks don't need that long, mm-hmm. and sometimes they may need to go a little longer. So we are flexible with that.
Okay. But,
and in some cases, if we're tapering off and an individual doesn't need as often, then they might, you know, go to meeting once every 2 weeks mm-hmm. or once every month. It's very individual depending on what the circumstances are.
Yeah. And you and I were talking, you know, before the podcast, but you were saying too, if something along the lines of if it's not therapy, so if it starts getting into a place where the peer counselor doesn't feel comfortable or thinks it's out beyond the scope of what the goal setting right. is, that then you guys do what?
Well, correct. They do have some basic high level counseling skills, but also identifying, you know, if individuals may have greater needs, more clinical mm-hmm. needs, then we would connect them with appropriate counseling or therapy services within the community that they, you know, may need.
Okay. So it sounds like then the peer counselors actually get some sort of training even to do this. So,
and they get initial training up front mm-hmm. and then ongoing training on various topics and various issues. And then of course they get support. Mm-hmm. They meet together as a team. We as a team meet every week, once a week.
Oh, great.
And so they do find a lot of support mm-hmm. amongst each other. And within keeping cases, individuals confidential. They may talk about a circumstance or a challenge mm-hmm. or whatever amongst themselves because someone else may have gone through it and give them ideas, or if we're looking to connect them to a community resource that someone else may know about. So there's a lot of value and a lot of teamwork and team support.
Yeah, yes. I was going to say that's really helpful. And as I was becoming a therapist, that's one of the things that we would do is we would meet as a group with a supervisor and then also meet individually with a supervisor. And that gave us the support as we were getting on our feet.
So. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's very helpful. There are times in some situations, you know, we have a little bit of a motto that we as the counselor should never be working harder than the client.
We have that too.
And we have to, as the team comes together, you know, sometimes we might have to point that out to one another because you may be doing more, not that, because they will go above and beyond because mm-hmm. their heart of gold.
Yeah.
They have. And, but so it also provides that kind of check and balance. So that's very, you know, very helpful.
So they're learning healthy boundaries to have within those peer yes. counseling relationships and stuff. So what would be one of the things that somebody might like to keep in mind if they're considering being a peer counselor? Or what things would they keep in mind? Like, are there certain qualities that they should have? Or you said compassionate and, you know,
I think empathy. Mm-hmm. I think good listening and learning, you know, active listening, reflective listening, because, our seniors, first of all, they're more comfortable talking with their peers, mm-hmm. with other seniors, and those that maybe have gone through some of their own life experiences, and they want to feel like they've been heard and understood. Mm-hmm. So I think those are kind of key to what you have to bring. Mm-hmm. Also, the primary goal of our program is really to promote hope.
Okay.
Oh, and, nice. I think, you know, we remind them that we want to avoid any kind of argumentation or.
No talking about politics then.
Right. Yes. The politics is taboo. That's not a subject for their sessions. You know, any kind of denial or conflict, we try to divert them to thinking on the more positive thoughts and positive change.
Okay.
I think not taking things personally. And, so I think those are really just some of the key things.
Mm-hmm.
But having the interest, if you have the natural interest and you have the time
mm-hmm.
and you want to listen and you want to help.
Okay.
Would be key.
That sounds really good. So how would somebody then go about connecting with the larger group of senior peer counseling to be able to do this work?
To find out more about the program, mm-hmm. I could give the number. You can find the number on our website.
I'm sure, with our okay. podcast.
For senior peer counseling, and you would reach me. I would be mm-hmm. the primary contact, and we can talk about what the program entails and the application process. We also have a questionnaire
mm-hmm.
For people to fill out and complete, which kind of gives them thought as to why they would like, you know, to be involved and volunteer in this.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of really take it from that step. We're currently recruiting right now, and I'm would be looking at providing training, you know, within the next couple months, our initial upfront training for bringing folks on.
Yeah, I remember you saying too earlier that this does rely on people being willing to volunteer to do it. The program
yes.
doesn't work if there are no volunteers because it is volunteer
right.
based. So you mentioned that you're taking volunteers, but sometimes people who are listening to our podcast are all over, you know, the country or even the world. So is this something that is across the country and around the world, or is it just in California where we are right now?
Well, I know in California that there are other counties that mm-hmm. do have a similar program. And I know that there has been some in other states mm-hmm. that have as well. And so folks could, you know, reach out to the, their agency on aging, mm-hmm. Or, you know, their county health department for the folks that deal with, you know, the elderly aging programs and see if they have that type of a program. Because it is grant funded, it is free, so there's no charge for mm-hmm. individuals to participate in it. Mm-hmm. And I can say it's been around a long time.
Yeah, you said it was around since, was it the 90s?
At least mid-1990s.
Wow.
And, you know, I'm so proud of the volunteers that we have some that the least amount of time they've been volunteering has been 4 years, and the greatest amount of time has been 20 years. So I think that speaks a lot to, you know, the value of the program.
So now I'm curious, how old is the oldest volunteer?
They're probably in their 80s by now.
Oh, how sweet. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful.
And we actually have a husband and wife couple, and they started together, and they don't take as many cases on uh-huh. as some others. On average, folks probably take about 3 at uh-huh. a time. But they're really kind of an honorary, you know, they're honorary members of the program.
Yeah. Oh, neat. So now I'm thinking, what are some of the things that, the senior peer counselors utilize in their sessions? Cause I know there are some things I was noticing on the sheet that you gave me. What are some of those things? I think journaling was one or something like that.
We do promote journaling, especially for some folks that kind of need some focus or mm-hmm. need, to see, you know, progress, or if it's journaling their thoughts, different things. We do have a set of, cognitive behavioral therapy worksheets and the deck of cards that we use, with them. That's obviously not needed in every case mm-hmm. or every situation.
What's the deck of cards? I'm curious.
It addresses cognitive behavioral therapy too.
Okay. So is it like distortions or something that they might have, like thinking errors or how to change those?
Yes.
And
thinking more positive and how thinking affects our actions and different things. So, it's just a tool that, mm-hmm. you know, they use in some cases and some situations. We do promote the, Beautiful Minds Daily Tracker.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We feel like that is really important, and we encourage our seniors to drink their water because, mm-hmm. you know, especially as you get older, dehydration is critical for them, as mm-hmm. it is for all of us, but they can have a lot of other issues. And also with connectedness. So we are, we utilize and are always keeping up with the programs and services in our community.
Mm-hmm.
And we encourage our seniors to get involved. And mm-hmm. we have wonderful senior centers that have excellent programs. For those clients that are Christians, we encourage them, you know, to go to the churches. We have a lot of churches that have various support groups.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they can find a lot of value in that. So there's a number of different tools and resources that we provide.
Yeah, I think you even gave me a book on different resources that, you know, a while ago on different things that you can refer these people to.
I try to make it as easy for them because mm-hmm. In navigating and there's so much out there, that having a resource that they can go to if they're looking mm-hmm. for legal support, or if they're looking for food or transportation, both mm-hmm. of those are huge.
Oh, yeah.
And being able to connect, you know, them to those programs, which is why it's important that we know mm-hmm. about them. And so that's a large part of what we do as well.
Yeah. Well, this all sounds really good. So Is there anything that you would want to add to what we've talked about that maybe I haven't asked the question, but you're thinking now like, oh, I really want them to know this about this program too?
I think that just that there is a big need in mm-hmm. the community. And I think, you know, being intentional about looking for those that may be in need and mm-hmm. and seeing how we can help them and how we can support them. And just so that they aren't feeling alone. Mm-hmm. And anybody can do that. You don't have to be part of the program. But I think being cognizant of our seniors and the things that they're going through is very important.
Yeah, this is a really vital part of society to take care of, you know, the elderly.
Yes.
And those that are of a certain age. And I'm thinking too, just as a therapist, there are a lot of issues that come up in that age group that are not necessarily similar to other age groups. Like, you know, this is the last part of my life. What
right.
do I want to do with this? And so having somebody there who will help them, you know, attain those goals that, mm-hmm. you know, those bucket list items and things that they want to do, I think is extremely helpful.
Yes, very. Mm-hmm. It's very important. And I think having that sounding board of someone they can talk to and process through, because you're right. They are facing, you know, different set of issues.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they do need the hope and they do need that guidance. It's amazing how many come that haven't maybe even made, a lot of their like financial planning or, just a lot of those sort of,
yeah,
other end of life issues, mm-hmm. different things. So I think as much, guidance that we can give and be available is really, really beneficial.
That's great. Well, yeah, thank you. Now, that number is it the same if somebody wants a peer counselor? Is that the same contact information as somebody who wants to be a peer counselor?
Yes.
Okay.
It's all the one number would get you whatever you want to know about.
You want to
senior
share the
counseling.
Number with us right
I'm
now?
Sure.
And then we can also add it to the podcast.
530-883-8466.
Mm-hmm. Repeat it.
Okay. 530-883-8466.
And that's for our specific area.
That's
too.
Specific to Beautiful Mind Senior Peer Counseling.
Okay. And then, for anything outside of the area, then they would have to look with their local.
Yes, they would have to look that up.
That sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, thank you. It's been great to meet with you and to learn about another resource that we have in our community that can help people, and also to consider that, you know, just because we're not necessarily helping that person, and I'm speaking on an individual basis, there is a resource that we can direct those that
Correct.
We love and care about who are of a certain age to this organization so that they can be helped even when maybe we don't know what to do.
Yes. Exactly. And you know, there's one other thing I wanted to share is mm-hmm. that sometimes some of our clients that have gone through and had the peer support, they themselves are interested and motivated mm-hmm. to then become a peer counselor
Aww.
And volunteer and be part of the program.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also a beautiful thing. They've seen the value and the benefit, and it's very good for them to do, as much as they have so much to you know, to give mm-hmm. and to offer. And so I just wanted to share that, you know, that does happen from time to time, and
yeah.
we certainly encourage it.
You just reminded me, I don't want to miss this opportunity, but is there a story that you'd like to share with us of a successful, you know, peer counseling relationship that turned into something that?
Sure. I can share about, we had this, a 70-year-old woman that mm-hmm. was referred to us actually by her son. And, she lived here in the Auburn area and her son lived in Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
But she was the caregiver for her husband
mm-hmm.
and he had stage four cancer
oh.
and Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
And, she was all by herself. English was her second language. So this
wow.
was another challenge for her. And she didn't drive. Her husband had always drove. So mm-hmm. when she came to us, she had a lot of issues that she was struggling with. And actually her husband's health was really declining rapidly. And when our, counselor came in and met with her, she was able to get her connected to a medical social worker, to home health, as well as to hospice, and get her
wow.
some transportation resources. And in their process of their time together, this woman had opened up about kind of some of the positive things in her marriage to her husband and some of the challenges that she had had. And one of those was that during her married time, she wasn't able to get to spend much time with her son or her family. Mm-hmm. And so she was, you know, really sad about that. And so she was kind of struggling with some things emotionally. And actually during one of the counseling sessions, the counselor was there when her husband actually passed. So it was just the two of them, but the counselor was able to provide her support and when things there had to be taken care of. And I bring this part up about what she had shared because together in their conversation, she was able to turn it around to kind of look like while she's going through the grief and loss of her husband, and she was going to be making a transition because she was blessed that she had a son who loved her deeply, mm-hmm. and they had made plans that they were going to, he was going to have her move down with him.
Yeah.
And so she was trying to now also think of the positive, even though she was transitioning mm-hmm. into this other chapter in her life, of that this would give her opportunity to spend time with her son, his mm-hmm. family, and her other family.
Oh, nice.
And so it brought her a lot of hope and mm-hmm. encouragement and support, you know, throughout this process. And so
a silver lining.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And both the counselor and the client felt, you know, rewarded to be able to help one another out through that time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. I'm sure you have a lot of other wonderful yes. stories too that you could share with us. And I'm sure the meetings that the senior peer counselors get together and they probably have some wonderful stories that they can share as well during that time. So that would be another benefit of being
yes.
a senior peer counselor
exactly.
is having that influx of hope, you know, mm-hmm. and inspiration built up there. Well, I really appreciate you spending the time with us here. And Sheree, you know, blessings to you as you continue to support this program that you're doing. And however we can help you, we're happy to do that. And thank you for sitting with me here today, too.
Thank you. Thank mm-hmm. you. I appreciate being here and getting this opportunity very
yeah.
much.
Thank you. So if you only take one thing away from today's show, remember this. If mental illness is a whole person problem, then it must have a whole person solution. I'm Amanda Anguish.
And I'm Sheree Hummel. And you've been listening to
The Brain People Podcast.